Oh, hello there. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, 88.1 FM or joining us live from anywhere in the world on the WIPR app or at WIPR.org. This is Midday. My name's Gabe Ortiz. I'll be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so much for choosing to spend even just a little bit of your day, wherever you are, with us here at WIPR. On the docket for today, at around 12:40, we're going to be speaking with WIPR health reporter Scott Massioni to talk a little bit about some new potential tax laws coming into play here in Maryland as it pertains to social media use and young people, as well as drug prescription ads. Really excited to talk with Scout about that. In about 20 minutes or so, we're going to be speaking with WIPR State House reporter Sarah Petrowich about the updates regarding redistricting here in Maryland and how it's becoming a national story with some national names and faces making their way down to Annapolis to make the case for or maybe against redistricting in the state of Maryland. Right now, though, very excited to welcome into the show Dan Belson, the unit chair of the Baltimore Sun Guild and reporter at the Sun, as well as Ariel Wittenberg, the unit chair representing Politico and E&E News, where she is also a reporter. Do we have both of you on the line?
Yes, thanks for having me, Gabe.
Hey, Ariel, we got
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Gabe.
Awesome. Thank you so much for making some time. Thank you so much for making some time for us today. Really, really appreciate it. So the reason that we brought you on is because not too long ago, the Baltimore Sun put out a piece in regards to Governor Westmore's State of the State address, and it involves some content that was produced by artificial intelligence. Can you talk a little bit, Dan, about what exactly the Baltimore Sun has been publishing that raised concerns among you and other guild members?
Yeah, so this happened about 2 weeks ago, and basically it was two articles that appeared both in print and online that were about Governor Moore's State of the State address, and they were labeled as AI analysis. And the stories were entirely written by a generative AI tool. There was a disclaimer. One of them had some serious errors calling Donald Trump the former president. And these articles were largely incoherent. And what we're concerned about as a union is, you know, we've heard nothing about how this will be used. We've heard nothing about what guardrails management is following when they're performing our work using AI. And we're concerned about this potentially replacing our work and our jobs by replacing the journalism we do with kind of AI-generated slop.
And we reached out to management at the Baltimore Sun for comment this morning. We do plan on inviting them on our program to share their perspective soon. Publisher and editor-in-chief Trif Alatsis said in part, quote, "We thought this method provided an opportunity to try an alternative way to analyze these subjects. Our staff reviewed the work and discussed how to ensure we were transparent with readers. One reader said he appreciated the Sun embracing such innovation and encouraged us to try it more. He added, we must thoroughly review future efforts given the error we should have caught and have since corrected. Another reader told us to knock it off. We plan to work with our staff to find various ways to use the technology responsibly to aid our reporting and better serve readers. There might be some mistakes along the way, but we plan to learn from them and be transparent about our efforts. To ignore this powerful tool would be a mistake. We hope these tools help us dive deeper and challenge us to think bigger. Our focus remains on humans approving anything before we publish, and that we are transparent with readers on how we use the technology and learn from it. We don't pretend to be experts, and we expect there will be growing pains. But we want to encourage people to try things responsibly as we move forward. That's the kind of newsroom we want to build on." So I'll stick with you here, Dan. When did you and the rest of the team at the Baltimore Sun, or at least you among members of the Guild, learn about these articles?
We did not hear about them in advance. We actually, most of us found out probably the day after they ran online, the day they ran in print. A lot of us were pretty shocked about it.
And I'm curious what the reaction was when you and other team members learned about this, along with the rest of the public, that the institution you're working for was making content coming from said institution with artificial intelligence when they have human reporters in the building. What was the general reaction amongst you and the team?
I mean, I think there was a lot of shock. We were confused about why management decided to do this. It appeared to not give any unique kind of perspective that we saw. I think there was a certain level of fear that this would be the direction we're going and that AI could continue to, erode our union by replacing the work we do.
And so, what is it that you and the other guild members are asking for from management at the Baltimore Sun in regards to AI-generated content?
So basically, we met with management last week as a newsroom, and we sent, as a union, gave them a demand to basically affirm the commitments they made at that meeting in writing, and ensure that AI-generated content doesn't replace our journalism, and that they establish an AI ethics code with actual guardrails that are, transparent and shared with our readers about when AI is used and how it is used. We've also sent them a demand to bargain over generative AI tools that could replace our union's work.
And Ariel, I want to jump to you here because I know you and the folks at your workplace, E&E News and Politico, were dealing with a similar situation, not exactly one to one, but it had to do with AI generated content and users engaging with artificial intelligence under the banner of E&E News and Politico. Can you tell us a little bit about what that situation was?
Yes, absolutely. Politico used AI to generate coverage of the vice presidential debate and the Democratic National Convention in 2024. And also, still currently on our website, our subscribers can ask AI to generate reports on any topic based on our reporting. And the problem with both of those is, number one, we didn't get any notice or opportunity to bargain over it as Politico's contract with our union requires, but perhaps more importantly, is that the resulting what was generated by the AI has been erroneous, has violated the style guide that our human reporters have to follow. And we just don't think that Politico should be printing or publishing any content that doesn't adhere to the same ethical standards, regardless of if it's generated by AI or written by people.
And has there been any agreement reached between the workers at E&E News and Politico and the management there?
Well, there was an agreement in that we had in our union contract an agreement on how to handle these issues. Unfortunately, Politico violated it, and an independent neutral arbitrator found in the union's favor in November and agreed that the contract was violated. He sent it back to us to, again, talk through with Politico what the remedy to that should be, and we're in those talks right now.
And what is your hope for those talks? To the degree, excuse me, that you're allowed to discuss that, what are you hoping comes from these talks with management?
Yes, well, we think that, again, our contract is very clear that AI-generated content has to be done with human oversight and following Politico standards of journalism ethics. That means following our style guide. That means being fact-checked before it runs. And right now, for an example, the reports that our readers can generate, they basically, the onus is on them to fact-check it themselves and make sure that it's accurate. And we have found some very glaring errors in these. There's been a report that didn't know that Roe versus Wade had been overturned, a report that didn't know the difference between Trump administration oil policies and Biden administration oil policies. And having that information coming out of the Politico brand really degrades trust in us and our reporting.
My name's Gabe Ortiz, speaking right now with Dan Belson, the unit chair of the Baltimore Sun Guild and a reporter at the Sun, and Arielle Wittenberg, the unit chair representing Politico and E&E News, where she's also a reporter. Dan, I want to jump back to you here talking about the Baltimore Sun. You had already said that nobody really seemed to know, at least amongst you and other guild members, that this AI-generated article was going to come out. Had there been any discussions between the team and management in regards to general use of AI, maybe not for this specific article, but about implementing this technology into the day-to-day of Baltimore Sun? Had any of those conversations been happening? And if so, what was the content of those combos?
There had been some very, very broad, loose conversations about adopting AI in the newsroom. We never seem to see it as, AI, generative AI using to write entire articles. We use AI every day, we transcribe our notes with AI. We you check our grammar with AI. There are tools that we use to make our journalism better. What we were surprised by was that it was very suddenly, without any type of notice, used to essentially replace our work and replace our journalism. That was where the surprise came in. We are not against using AI to make our work better or our job lives easier, but we do have concerns about management using generative AI without restrictions.
And so it seems from my perspective that the main crux of the issue here, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, is there's no issue using AI for some of the more busy work tasks that go into reporting, right? You alluded to some of those, particularly things like checking grammar or making sure that punctuations are where they should be or the proper punctuation is being used throughout an article or making sure style or format is being used correctly. It's when it starts to cross over into some of the more human aspects of journalism, right? When it comes to offering analysis on a situation or when it comes to some of the more creative aspects that come with being a reporter, that's where things start to become an issue. Would you agree with that assessment? And if so, what really is the issue of some of those more creative tasks being handled by AI?
Yes, I think that is where it is. And it feels like it is a pretty clear line, and it's unclear how that got crossed. You know, it's especially concerning that it was used for a political article that was, you know, semi-serious. You know, we've seen some more lighthearted things. You know, we asked ChatGPT what he thinks about the Ravens this year. But to see a whole article written by an AI tool was concerning because, there are issues with facts. There are issues with the way it's been written. It is not very comprehensible. And our readers deserve better. You know, that kind of reporting, or if you could call it that, being used as a substitute for our reporting, it insults what we do and it undermines our credibility with our readers and with the sources we talk to every day.
And I want to jump to you here, Ariel. I want to ask you a question in the same vein. What are your biggest concerns about the use of artificial intelligence in your industry and even more specifically at your publication? Is it about the accuracy? Is it the transparency? Is it the trust that you need to maintain between staff and management? Is it a mix of all of those things? And I know that's a loaded question, so please feel free to take your time at the answer. But what are your biggest concerns and what issues do you see on the horizon that it sounds like you're trying to get out ahead of?
Yeah, I definitely see it as an all of the above. You know, like Dan said, we've certainly had members who have used AI to help us do our work. You know, when you're reporting on the federal government, you know, you can get these like giant pieces of legislation or budget documents that you can feed into ChatGPT and say, where are the biggest proposed budget cuts? But our reporters are told when you're using ChatGPT in that way, fact check it and make sure it's accurate right before you follow that lead and tell that story. So why then we're going to rely on the same technology to actually write reports and send them directly to readers without editing, or in some cases having editors edit it, but then, you know, the copy is not up to the same par of what a human would write. So you're creating more busy work for the editors because the AI generation is not as good as human reporters. I just don't see why we would do that. You know, you have reporters who are experts in their field, who are experts in what they cover. And, you know, in the case of the Sun for the State of the State address, in our case for the State of the Union, why wouldn't you want your experts, your reporters, to be the face of your coverage for those kinds of things?
And something that you had mentioned a little bit earlier in this conversation, Ariel, was the idea that this AI was being trained on work that you and your fellow reporters had done. Is there any issue around the consent of allowing your work to be used for those kinds of things? Is management free to do that if they want without any kind of ethical or legal issues? Where does that come into play, the fact that your work is being used to train these AI models to then put out these articles?
So in this case, that's not an issue under our contract that they would use it to train the model. What I think is more concerning for our members is that the AI is then maybe citing an article of mine to say something that isn't true. So it will create these reports and say, like, this report was drawing upon work from reporter A, reporter B, and reporter C, and here's the stories that they wrote. But in some cases, it's completely getting the issue wrong. So a reader may, have generated that report and be like, gee, that's wrong. Oh, and look, it's saying Ariel said this already, and that's not what I wrote. So that definitely, I think, erodes trust. And especially in this age where you have misinformation, people may be coming to these tools to fact check something that they heard elsewhere. They're coming to us as a verified news source, for us to then say, actually, you have to fact check it another way because this isn't reliable. I mean, that's just not what journalists do. We're meant to tell the truth.
And so that was going to kind of be my next question there, Ariel, is this idea of adding this added layer of fact-checking to the reader or to the consumer. And it feels like that is a problem that, for the most part, we as a society, and particularly when you look at journalistic institutions, have kind of already solved, right? Like, we go to these sources of journalism, whether it be the Baltimore Sun, whether it be E&E News, wherever, and we expect the fact-checking to already be done, right? That's not a responsibility that falls on the reader or on the consumer of this news anymore. It seems, again, just to me, that this is a bit of a backward step in that I now have to do this work that I thought we had already innovated our way out of. Are you seeing an issue with that as well?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll say that, Politico is not alone in that regard. We've seen numerous examples of media companies, kind of trying to rush to show that they can be part of this new technology. The Washington Post had a very headline-grabbing case a couple of months ago where their readers were able to generate essentially podcasts that were spewing out errors. And that's kind of the problem when you don't have a human editing or fact-checking or reviewing it, and you're treating this technology as actually intelligent, and it's just not up to that par. And we need to have journalists, writing this work, and we need to have editors, journalists editing this work before it's made public. Anything else will undermine, excuse me, the brand and the work that we do.
My name is Gabe Ortiz, speaking right now with Dan Belson, the unit chair of the Baltimore Sun Guild and a reporter at the Sun, as well as Arielle Wittenberg, the unit chair representing Politico and E&E News, where she's also a reporter. I want to go out to the phone lines. We have a caller, Tom from Mount Vernon. Tom, you're on the line. Have your say.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I have a history of contacting reporters and newspapers to discuss their articles. I ask questions sometimes. I even add information that might be valuable to them for future articles. That interface with a real person, and also too, when somebody writes an article in the paper, their name is at the bottom of that article, and you know who wrote that article, and you can contact them. If AI takes over, that ability for the consumer, the public, to interface with the people that wrote the articles is going to be gone.
Really appreciate the call there, Tom. And I'll turn that over to you, Dan. Do you see an added layer as well of the connection that journalists have with the community that they're reporting on? And can you speak to the importance of that connection? And to Tom's point, do you lose some of that? Do you lose all of that maybe when you have AI-generated journalism coming out?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think what we do for a living is we go out into the communities and we build these relationships with people. And we report on issues that they care about, and we write very carefully to make sure that all of these needs are properly reflected in the story. AI does not go out into the communities. AI does not build relationships with people. That is part of what creates our brand's trust with people. And it's shocking to see that being used as a substitute.
And I'll extend that same question to you, and this will be the last one before we get out of here, Ariel. What do you see lost in the connection between community members and the journalists that report on their communities when it comes to creating AI-generated content?
Yeah, I think like Dan and the caller said, it's that level of accountability, right? I mean, as journalists, our job is to tell the truth and write the truth and to be accountable when we don't, and to, issue a correction if we don't. And like the caller said, like if the AI wrote the article, who do you contact about that? And that's without getting into, all of the other questions of, well, what data was the AI trained on? And those kinds of accountability questions of what point of view, for lack of a better term, does the AI have? So I definitely think that you lose that level of human interaction and human accuracy. And I'll just mention that the News Guild actually has a website all about this called newsnotslop.org, and it goes into a little bit more about the pitfalls that we've been seeing when AI has been used by media companies.
Dan Belson, the Unichair of the Baltimore Sun Guild and a reporter at the Sun, as well as Arielle Wittenberg, Unichair for Politico and E&E News, where she does some great reporting as well. Thank you so much for both of you coming on today. Before I let you get out of here, Dan first and then Arielle, let the people know how they can stay up to date with all the reporting you're doing, whether it has to do with AI or otherwise.
Yeah, so you can follow the Baltimore Sun Guild on social media as Balt Sun Guild. We do have a petition drive since we've been in contract negotiations regarding where you can reach out to management and tell them about the content of the paper and how you feel about changes to it.
And Ariel, please let the people know how can they stay up to date?
Yeah, absolutely. We are Penn Guild on social media, Penn like the writing implement. And I also mentioned the newsnotslop.org is the broader News Guild website about AI and efforts to combat that in union contract.
Really appreciate both your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Midday, we're going to be speaking with WYPR State House reporter Sarah Petrowich to talk a little bit about the current state of redistricting and that debate happening in Annapolis as we speak, going on what's going on down there and how it's becoming a national conversation with some national figures inserting themselves into that debate. All that and more coming up on the other side. You're listening to Midday with me, Gabe Ortiz, filling in for Tom Hall on 88.1 WYPR.
You're listening to 88.1 WYPR, your local NPR news station.